In the beginning, there was darkness, a void waiting to be filled with the echoes of destiny. From the depths of time, legends emerged. Heroes forged in the fires of adversity, their stories etched in the fabric of eternity. Through the sands of ancient deserts, across the vast expanse of galaxies, and amidst the tumultuous waves of the ocean, their journeys began. But amidst the chaos, there arose a whisper, a call to action, a beacon of hope. Now, as the world holds its breath, a new tale unfolds, a story of courage, of triumph against all odds. Join us as we delve into the depths of imagination, as we embark on a journey beyond the realms of possibility. For in every tale lies a lesson, in every legend, a truth waiting to be discovered. This is not just a podcast. This is an odyssey, a quest for knowledge, a quest for inspiration, a quest for the very essence of what it means to be human. Welcome, dear listeners, to a world of infinite possibilities. Welcome, dear listeners, to the True Life Podcast.
I mean, even as it's fading, as we're really crossing that path of totality, it's you can't help but be in awe over it. You know, like it may seem like a really trivial thing, but you know, this is an ancient phenomenon. It guided people's, you know, spiritual paths. Still continues to, I'm sure. And it's just it's great that we have the science now to be able to predict these things and plan around them. And I hope all of your visitors out there are being safe and are able to share some of their eclipse experiences with us today.
Yeah, me too. I think that the idea of the eclipse is, for me, like I've been having some interesting dreams, and I don't know if it's the eclipse, I don't know if it's the moon having an effect on the water on my body or gravity or what it is, or if it's just my own brain thinking maybe there's something to it. But regardless of why it's happening, it's definitely happening and I can feel something changing. I like to see it as an opportunity to change my life or be a perfect time to go with that old adage of, you know, if people could switch the idea from someday to day one. You know, and I think that that's kind of what the eclipse is for me, man. It's like this momentous moment of change that you can use as a catalyst in your life. What about you, man? What are some interesting ideas that you have on the eclipse that you're kind of using towards creating a more effective lifestyle? Or what does it mean to you?
Yes, the clouds are parting, George.
Okay, let's see it.
Symbolically and literally. I have to ask, how do the glasses work on camera?
I think it's better without the glasses.
Yeah, so like I'm using the front-facing camera, and I'm just trying to find a good balance so that it's visible. But yeah, there it is. I know I shouldn't stare at it. I've got my glasses on. I'm practicing safety. But yeah, what a heck of a way to usher in the spring. The spring is the time of rebirth and reflection. And yeah, I mean, you know, I want to hear more about your dreams. You know, not so many dreams for me specifically, right. But, you know, just thinking a lot about just celestial events. Yeah. I was thinking a lot about Nibiru and, you know, the whole planet X phenomenon. Yeah. And, you know, if the eclipse is going to look something like a polar shift where, you know, everything kind of gets flooded again. I mean, who really knows? And I know that there's no real accurate way to plan our time on this earth, but. You know, when you live long enough to experience a solar eclipse or a few of them, I mean,
yeah,
recall a couple of eclipses in my lifetime. I really do remember Halley's Comet. I remember being on my old farm in Milton and really enjoying that and feeling that awe again. And that was a longer term event because if I'm not mistaken, Halley's Comet stays in the sky for like, you know, maybe a month, maybe a couple weeks, couple days. But this, you know, it's slowly fading. You know, I thought it would actually get a lot darker, but again, I think the overcast, the clouds are probably blocking out a big portion of this. And, you know, I'm certainly no astronomer, but I do have a really, really deep interest in, you know, the things like the precession of the equinox. Yeah. Like I remember, you know, the Aztecs would predict things like the galactic lining, where all the planets kind of line up, and that was supposed to be tied in with the whole 2012 end of the world thing. But nevertheless, it's really poking out now. I'm gonna put my glasses back on. How about you, George? What are you going to manifest from this eclipse?
Well, I like to think of it as like a death and a rebirth. You know, sometimes the covering up of the light to me represents the dark spots in my life, but it also means that it passes. Like, this too shall pass. And when I see the light being blocked for a minute, I think it gives me a moment to reflect on my life and think, like, you know what? There's been some pretty dark spots over the last few years. And I think that the world we live in has been kind of mired by like this dark passing. And I think that what we're seeing here is symbolic of that. I think we're going to see the light return on some level. Isn't it weird that there's like a ceasefire almost on the eclipse? Isn't it weird that we're beginning to see the curtain pulled back on the corruptive nature of power that has been just sitting over the world for so long? And I think that that's what this symbolizes. And, you know, I'm not sure why there were all these state of emergencies and all these different states, but I'm kind of glad they were. I think it draws attention to the darkness passing and us moving in to a future that's more filled with light, be it in your personal life, in your relationships with your family, or in the world. And I really want to challenge people out there to start thinking in a way that's beyond the darkness. The darkness is passing and the light is being shown onto us. And if you take time to pray, whether you believe in whatever God you believe in or what power you believe in, I hope everyone just takes a moment right now to take and feel that power and that light that's kind of trying to shine down on them, and they can feel the darkness moving away from them. I think that's what's happening, man.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And what a great platform you have to help other people manifest their own dreams. And, you know, in the research I did, I understand that in Hawaiian mythology, they represent lovers. The sun and the moon are coming together. So it's not an ominous thing. It's actually an event of celebration. So yeah. I think that, you know, if you have the opportunity to be with a loved one or a family member and, you know, enjoy this time and, you know, draw your own conclusions, you know, may it be a point of inspiration, and may there be other great things that follow. I mean, just looking at it now, like it almost, you know, it's a crescent moon. Like I look at it right now, I can't help but think that it does look like a crescent moon. And, you know, I just really hope that this does bring peace, and that this ceasefire does last, and that, you know, even if there is some sort of like psychosomatic effect of the eclipse, you know, beyond just religious culture, that it could just be a sign for anyone to just do good, to just do good. How are you spending the rest of the eclipse day? Have your other interviews gone well? Like what kind of feedback are you getting from your audience?
Yeah, well, I think there's been a pretty big buildup. You know, I know a lot of influencers who have just made different videos about the eclipse and they've gone viral. And it just seems that there's almost this attention on what's happening. And I think the world is watching. You know, this is truly one of those events where the world is watching. And it's beyond government. It's beyond money. It's beyond anything. And it's something that speaks to our soul, you know, and I like the idea of it being lovers, you know, and I like the idea of the dark and the light being opposite sides of the same coin. And I love the idea that it speaks to the idea of relationships, because I think that that's the one thing that we have been kind of estranged from, with all this talk about AI, with all this talk about war, with all this talk about money and collapsing. And like, what we're really talking about is struggling with relationships. And people, after COVID, people got locked up and, hey, you took the shot, now you're going to die. All this craziness that's out there. You know, I think that what we're really struggling from is this idea of not understanding relationships, that we're all related to each other the same way the sun is related to the moon, is related to the earth. We're part of this bigger system. And when we start understanding that we're all part of nature, I think we can all begin to relate to one another in a way that is more meaningful. And I mean, this is all from the eclipse. Like, there's something that eclipses your personal well-being, and that is the well-being of your relationships. The way you treat other people is the way you treat yourself. The way you talk about the world is the way your inner dialogue reflects that. And I you know, when we talk about reflections on the moon or reflections on the sun or the lack of a reflection on the earth, to me, it's all about relationships. And I think that it's these particular events, these eclipses or these, you know, precession of the equinox or these events that happen in the sky, they really show us something that's greater than us, man.
Yeah, true say. Preach on, brother. Got it. You got it. There, I think for me, like just being here right now, like it's been cloudy all day. And, you know, I was worried about this being a bust. Mm-hmm. And now it seems like we do have a ray of hope.
Yeah.
You know, that no matter how cloudy a day it is, it's always salvageable. You know, you can always find that silver lining. I know I'm just riddled with dad jokes and, all kinds of trite metaphors, but, you know, it really just helps me understand and, you know, explain how this consciousness and this existence affects me. And, you know, I can maybe take a moment now just while we have some cloud cover. I'm just going to pan around the farm a little bit and show you this beautiful place that my wife Kat and I have built up, starting with our animals. So we have the Brothers Grimm, which are three Nigerian dwarf goats. And then we also have two new additions, two other goats called Harry and Huckleberry. So yeah, we name all of our, we've got a writing theme here going, as you know. And then, of course, the three little pigs, Cinnamon, Cocoa, and Sugar, which are the Spice Girls. And then just panning around, we've got our outdoor kitchen. And I hope that the bandwidth is okay here, George. Like, are we buffering or can you see this okay?
Yeah, I can see it perfect, man. I just had my mic muted. But yeah, it's clean. It's clear. It looks good.
Good. Well, that's another added bonus here at the Dreamers Writing Farm is that we have fairly high speed internet here. We've clocked in at around 20, 25 megabytes per second. Nice. And right over here is our fire pit. That's where my VR camera is set up. So what I'd like to do, George, is I'm just going to go check on it, make sure that it's turned off and make sure that I just got my footage. And I just like to pan around here back up to the eclipse. And if you could just, you know, continue your stream of consciousness, anything that you want to say to the viewers. And then I will be back in literally 30 seconds. I'm just going to go check on the other camera. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Yeah. So for those that are tuning in right now, Ryan's up in Northeastern Canada and he's got a retreat center up there. He's a DJ, multimedia genius, marketer, copywriter. He's one of these guys that pretty much does everything. And I leaned on him today because I know where he's at, and I was hopeful that he would be able to show us a little bit of the eclipse. But for anybody that's interested in ever doing a retreat or taking some time, or if you're a writer or if you have a group, Dreamers Writing Farm is definitely the place you want to go and check out. It's away from all of the hustle and bustle, and it really inspires a creative way in which you can stream your consciousness into a project or a group setting. So yeah, but I do. I mean, talking about the eclipse, I really think it's a fascinating time. And I'm hopeful that it marks a difference in your life and you find a way to do it. Ryan, I was just telling everybody about the Writer's Dreaming Farm and all the ways in which you can become aligned with nature and be inspired and how beautiful it is up there, man. Taking some deep breaths to come in right now.
Yeah, yeah. I wanted to om with you.
Yeah.
we'll just do a sun salute, I guess.
All right.
Yeah, this is the Dreamers Writing Farm. It's beautiful. It really pops in the summertime, and spring is when everything really comes alive, and you know, you can enjoy this property at its full potential. So yeah, we're really hoping that you can come out
Yeah.
One day I'd love you for you to come here and do a podcast internship.
Yeah.
You know, some kind of like podcast residency in one of our bunkies or tents. And so we're, you know, predominantly a writing workshop facilitator here at the Dreamers Writing Farm, but it really is all kinds of different creative endeavors. You know, we've got lots of different themes around the property, and all of our bunkies are named after prominent Canadian authors. So my first franchise investment would have been the Copeland bunkie. He happens to be my favorite Canadian author. Have you ever heard of Douglas Copeland before?
It doesn't ring a bell. It probably looks bad on me, but I don't know.
Oh, we know that you're well-read, George.
Okay. Tell me about him then.
You would dig him. Well, you know, he debatably coined the term Generation X through his book released in 1991 called Generation X. And to be honest, I haven't read that one, and that's his biggest one. I've never really been able to find a copy, but whatever. I've read a lot of other stuff that he's done, such as J-Pod, Micro Surfs. Generation A is a recent one that I really loved. And it's really hard to describe his style. I mean, All Families Are Psychotic, Girlfriend in a Coma. He's a Vancouver-based writer. And yeah, so I would say if you're going to explore Douglas Copeland's catalog, you might start with Generation X, even though I don't really have anything to back it up with. His other books are great too. And they have, they kind of like, you know, flirt with, you know, punk rock and corporate culture and what it means to kind of like sell your soul to the man. So there's a little, and even a little bit of dystopian fiction in Generation A, which is about the end of the world and how, you know, a group of people kind of come together. I mean, that seems to be a pretty common theme in a lot of literature these days, but he really does an excellent job of with that particular theme. So yeah, I think, we're still passing the path of totality. So yeah, I'm just going to bring the camera back on the eclipse, and I don't know if just, you know, watching it is going to be boring for your viewers, but you know, if we could just spend a few more minutes outside, I'd love that. I also have my webcam set up in my studio too, so that I can sit down properly and, you know, really see you more eye to eye. So for now, I'm just going to put it back up to the eclipse, and then we'll carry on our conversation.
Yeah, sounds good, man. Thank you.
Great.
Yeah, so if you're just tuning in right now, we're checking out the eclipse. It's moving through the later phases. And I'm curious to anybody out there how you guys feeling? Is your day any different? Do you feel like there's been a sort of death and a rebirth in your life? Has there been a real death and a rebirth in your life? I don't know. I hope everybody's okay out there. But the eclipse, it had a lot of eyes on it. It had a lot of people, you know, coming so close to Easter too. I think that there's something to be said about that. So we got Lonnie Chan. Aloha, Lonnie. Thanks for chiming in over here. People that should, speaking of ideas and books and writing, Lonnie, I don't know if you've met Ryan Clark, but that's a great place to have a writing workshop. And I think that the Rattled Awake movement, we might want to all meet out there sometime. I think it'd be a great spot for everybody to meet up and do some writing. I think there could be a lot of inspiration that comes out of there. For those that don't know, Lonnie runs the incredible Rattled Awake book series. It's more like a movement where she talks about people that are waking up and how they woke up and the incidents that happened. I think it speaks to the idea of the eclipse.
She says, and so is this fiction, nonfiction, Lonnie?
She's got a both. She was big on she played a giant role in the Chicken Soup for the Soul series. You know, you might say she was the soul of the Chicken Soup and the Soul series. And she's moved on to her own. She's done an incredible suite of ghostwriting for people that have made, you know, I don't want to out anybody, but she's done a lot of incredible writing for a lot of incredible people. And now she's turned her skills on going and helping people, individuals, write their own story. I know that I was in volume 2 and I wrote my story about confronting authority in the world of multinational corporations and starting from zero and, you know, getting to be in a book that was a national bestseller. You know, it helped not only get me exposure, but it helped me see my life a little bit different because I was able to write about it. And you know as well as I do, Ryan, when you're writing about things, you're changing the way that you see your story and you're reinventing your story. So
Yeah, she's awesome. And you guys, you probably already know each other, but maybe after the show, I'll set up something else. But I think that'd be a good partnership, a little strategic partnership for both of you.
Yeah, yeah. My wife Kat is a very ambitious individual. She's getting her PhD in autoethnography and writing to heal. And she's got online courses now at our website, dreamerswriting.com. And then the hospitality business here is run through writingfarm.ca. And yeah, we'd love to get more groups of writers together here. And I'd love to hear more about your process for Terror Before the Sacred.
Ah, well, thank you. That was the first book that I wrote. And thank you for bringing it up. It started off after I was writing a letter to my daughter's school about the way in which learning seems to be taking a change. And for those that don't know, I've been huge into psychedelics my whole life. They really helped me heal from the death of my son. They've helped me through relationship issues. They've helped me after my niece died. Psychedelics have just been a way in which I've been able to see myself grow without any judgment. And for those people who find themselves with PTSD or relationships or just want to see the world different, psychedelics can be a great way for you to get out of your own way. And for me, I started writing this letter to my daughter's school about how we can learn from nature, how sometimes the answers are revealed to us instead of taught to us. And so the Terror Before the Sacred is sort of a nod to that feeling you get when you're in the presence of something so beautiful that you're afraid. And if you haven't had that experience, I'm hopeful that everybody will one day. I always think of the Terror Before the Sacred when I see the stained glass windows and the people before a deity bowing down and there's that sun beaming over them. That's the Terror Before the Sacred. When you want to speak to the woman or the man that you love and you're not sure if they're going to like you, that's almost a religious moment too. It's that Terror Before the Sacred, that belief in yourself before you become something greater than you knew you could be. The idea of faith, man. And that's where that book came from, man. And it's a real special one to me, man. And I really appreciate you taking the time to shout it out, man. Thank you.
Yeah. Faith and synchronicity. And I've also been thinking a lot about the Apostle Tom, the Doubting Thomas. And he wouldn't accept the whole resurrection belief without proof. And I think that's where a lot of people are right now in terms of their faith and their belief. And I think that the Terror Before the Sacred is a real way of coming to terms with maybe a bit of denial, maybe a bit of lost ambition, hopelessness, but ultimately finding that proof within your soul that there can be change and that we can move on and evolve as a society. And I'm looking forward to reading more of your work. What future books do you have planned? We still got you, George? I think we might be muted.
There we go. Now,
yeah, yeah. Carry on.
Nice call. Yeah, I think that the work going forward is just. Oh, there we go. Thanks, Ryan.
Yeah.
As far as any new books coming up, man, I don't really have any new books online. I've obviously keep a journal and I do some writing and. But I think streaming right now for me, talking to cool people like you and getting to travel around the world via the internet and express new ideas. I have this new idea, Ryan, that I borrowed from, I think it was Lloyd Lobo, who said, relationships are the new currency. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's less about, building an audience and building a following and more about promoting organic endeavors. I suppose. And the lockdown's effect on all of us and our reliance and our compulsions towards things like social media, where it's all sort of very vacuous and you know, so many different trends are fleeting. I mean, if you even just look at the eclipse right now, you know, how much attention is being focused on it, which is a good thing, but also the, you know, emergency orders that are being put in place by many cities. And I understand that, you know, that there should be a social order system to make sure that people, you know, treat each other fairly and, you know, don't go wild. But I think that, yeah, the internet has such a great opportunity for, you know, extroverts like us. You know, you're building your audience, you're creating wholesome material, you're empathizing, you know, you're at a place where you can share your trauma and have that reciprocated empathy that helps us all. One of the things we were talking about too in the last episode, and I forgot the term for it, but I did want to bring it up, was ASMR. And I think I get strong ASMR vibes from you, George. Are you familiar with ASMR?
I don't know. Can you break that down for me? I've heard that term, but I can't tell you I know exactly what it is.
Well, and I'm an acronym guy, so I don't remember the actual full term for that abbreviation, but basically it's so hard to explain scientifically. Goosebumps, okay? Like that feeling in your heart chakra when you're connecting with someone. It's, some people even argue that it's a sixth sense, you know, and not everybody can experience it, but you know, when you're having a really good conversation with someone, and you know, you kind of just feel your, like I say, your heart chakra growing. And I know that there are, you know, it does have a clinical name for it now, but it was something that I, growing up, that I did experience, and, you know, maybe lost over time and then found again. But, you know, there's all kinds of, again, you know, not to get too tinfoil hatty, but, you know, the calcification of the pineal gland from things like fluoride and aspartame and, you know, a lot of the other vices that I personally struggle with might inhibit our ability to experience that ASMR. And I think that if more people could, we'd have ceasefires, or we would have no fires, or, you know, who knows. But that is something else that I wanted to bring up. And, you know, I think, getting back to our eclipse moment here, I think the moment has passed. I think we've passed that path of totality. And what I'd like to do now, George, is I'm going to go check on my other camera briefly, and then maybe we can meet up in my shop for the conclusion of our interview today. I apologize for the background noise. My neighbor is taking great care of his property, and it's that I hope that didn't interfere too much. But do you mind just doing a quick little narration, and then I'll rendezvous with you inside shortly?
Fantastic, man. Yeah, and I appreciate it. Yeah, it's well said. And Lonnie and Ryan both put up what ASMR is. It's an autonomous sensory meridian response, ASMR. It's a tingling sensation that usually begins on the scalp and moves down the back of the neck and the upper spine. And then Ryan concurs and drops the same awesome hint right here, is that it's a tingling sensation that usually begins at the scalp and moves down the back of the neck and the upper spine. And I do, now that I'm able to read what that is, I do get that feeling sometimes. And I want to concur with Ryan and say that I think it is the evolution of our sensory response system. I think that more and more people, when you talk about enlightenment or you talk about becoming awake, I think we're beginning to understand people in a different way. I think conversations are becoming more meaningful. And when something is meaningful in a conversation, your skin gets flushed, you get goosebumps, like you're really connecting with those people. And I think we're able to do it, you know, over the internet on some ways, even though it feels better to be in the felt presence of the other. When you can be next to someone and you can see like their nostrils flare up, or maybe their eyes get big, or maybe they lean into your conversation. Like, these are all different ways in which we're beginning to thoroughly communicate more effectively. You know, they say that we have a living language, that the language is changing. And an example of that is when you think about, you know, not too long ago, companies began naming their companies as verbs. Like Google, it became a verb. And for, I call it verbing. More and more people are using nouns as verbs. And if you just think about that for a minute, like think about your name. Like my name's George, or maybe you're Ryan, or maybe you're Lonnie. But don't think of it as a stagnant noun. Think of it as a verb, as something in process. And when you begin to see the world around you, like a, you know, person, place, or thing, don't think of them as stagnant. Don't think of them as a noun. Think of them as a verb. And that changes the way your relationship to them is. When you begin changing that, when you see the world as verbs instead of nouns, I think that that has a sort of correlation to the ASMR that you're talking about, because you're beginning to connect things the same way that that feeling moves from the back of your neck down your spine and begins to tingle. That's something more meaningful to you. And I think that maybe what this eclipse could be signifying to us is moving into a more meaningful dialogue with our relationships, man. So yeah, I was just saying, Ryan, that, you know, a couple of the people came out and they said ASMR is a tingling sensation that usually begins on the scalp and moves down the back of the neck and the upper spine, which is just seems like a better form of communication.
A woman's intuition, you know, if there is a, you know, if there are senses that we've lost over time, you know, if Babylon is kind of ground us down to the point where, you know, we don't use our brain's full potential. I really think ASMR, like, you know, it has affected me. Like there's been moments where I felt like real deep connections to people and you know, it sort of seems to come out of nowhere. It just seems like there are real moments of synergy and yeah, it's a really neat phenomenon. I don't know if that's too grandiose of an explanation for it, but you know, I think back to our last interview where, you know, last May we spoke, and it was a really motivating moment for me. You know, I thought I'm an extrovert, and you know, I also sometimes feel like maybe I'm an omnivert, in that, you know, your social battery kind of reflects how you're able to communicate with people. But you know, today is a beautiful day, job provides, and it's great to be speaking with you here today. And again, I really hope that there's a chance that we, you know, that there is a chance for us to meet in person sometime. You know, we'd love to come for a holiday there in Hawaii as well. But yeah, what's next for the True Life podcast? What kind of other guests do you have lined up?
You know, it's interesting. I just spoke with a fascinating gentleman, Daniel Goei, I think is his name. And he created an entire fashion magazine using a set of AI tools like Leonardo, Gemini, and he put all these tools together and he created the models. He created the clothes on the models, and he created this incredible Vogue type magazine where everything was done via AI. And in that conversation, the reason I bring it up is that I think it speaks to the idea of the freeing nature of the world that is upon us. On some levels, we're being bogged down with these ideas of war and these ideas of control and these digital currencies that are come and take away all your rights. But I kind of see that being eclipsed by, maybe this is what freedom looks like. Maybe the freedom for an individual who never went to school, doesn't know the right people, and isn't someone that is like one of the beautiful ones, is going out and creating with their own laptop a whole new industry. I think that what we're seeing right now is the leveling of the playing field and the rise of creativity. And that means that anybody can play. That means that the bar to entry is being moved away, and anyone who has the ability or the aptitude or the courage to begin putting themselves out there can play at a level that was only allowed for the highest people that came from the nicest families that had the most money, the most opportunity. I really think we're moving into that. And it may not look like that for people, but in my heart, man, like I ASMR right now, like I see it happening. And I want more people that have the courage to, if you're not happy doing something, stop doing it. If you're in a relationship that's not good, try to work it out. If it doesn't work, then you have to grow. You have to move. Growth is painful and it's hard, but it's necessary. And everybody out there deserves to have the best life. And I see that's what this clip is about. It's like everybody, now is the time. Don't have a lot of misplaced anger at a job that you don't want to be at. Like if you don't want to be there, have the courage to leave or make yourself get fired, you know, whatever you got to do.
Yeah, I can relate to being in uncomfortable employment situations and that, you know, that sense of helplessness. And, you know, it's not necessarily always tied to your income and your, you know, accomplishments. But yeah, you know, if you can keep things going on the back burner, and, you know, the whole hustle culture and grind culture can be hard to keep up with, you know, burning the candle at both ends.
Yeah.
And, you know, thinking about how I want to prioritize things. And, you know, even last Monday, we were supposed to meet up for, it was Easter Monday. And yeah, you were gracious enough to, you know, postpone our podcast today. And then that was, you know, a great decision where, you know, I want to be prepared as I can for, you know, all kinds of professional and, you know, in personal endeavors, but, you know, being able to speak to your wide audience and, you know, making sure that I have, you know, even using ChatGPT, we have ChatGPT-4 now that has been a great resource. And, you know, I don't want to rely too heavily on it, but, you know, I wanted to make some nice show notes for us today.
Yeah.
And, you know, find different like anecdotes that I can share. And, you know, trivia about the eclipse, and, you know, it's almost overwhelming. I mean, there's no way to prioritize every single thing we want to talk about today, but yeah, I definitely think that there is a creator economy. And, you know, I think that if we continue to put out great content and, you know, find different cool little niches, I mean, when we spoke last May, I, you know, was really focusing on this place, and, you know, I'm hell bent on getting this spring prep here done, you know, making sure that everything's ready for the May 2-4 Victoria Day weekend here. That's when this place really explodes and we get lots of bookings. But last May, after talking to you, I got back into DJing. Yeah. I decided to, you know, really ramp up my midlife crisis and start playing music again. And, you know, from that, it took me a few months to, you know, to get my setup all tweaked and configured properly. But that for me has been a great outlet. And, you know, I know nightclubs aren't conducive to traditional parenting, but, you know, I'm doing my best to find a nice balance between, you know, my family life and the business that we're building, which, you know, hopefully will become a legacy business for our family, for our kids, Charlie, Lucy, Asia, Allie, and Jake. You know, they're growing up here on the farm. And I grew up on a farm. My wife Kat grew up on a farm in Milton. That's where I'm from, Kat, here in the Lion's Head area. So, you know, we do have that, you know, pre-internet, post-internet experience. And, you know, it is like a tool that if we can, you know, use this amazing communication device to, you know, sort of build up our audience and find different unique revenue streams. I mean, I do these Dreamers revenue overview reports every year to see how we're performing. And, you know, it's really amazing how many different ways there are to, you know, monetize creative work, you know, such as her workshops, her online writing courses, her writing contests, you know, bookings here at the farm. She's also doing a mentor through the Spark Grant, which is a Grey Bruce nuclear power fund that, you know, did help us a few years ago get started. And, you know, we're almost at the point, the goal here now is to, you know, get financially stable to the point where, you know, Kat can do this full time with me, and, you know, all of our family can, you know, have something to look forward to, and, you know, see what, how, what they can do to contribute to the business. I mean, shoveling manure, or shoveling goat manure, is a really humbling experience, but I almost look forward to it now in the sense that, you know, my mind races so much, and I'm really happy when I'm doing, you know, carpentry work, or, you know, modest renovations, or, you know, animal maintenance. So it's nice that, I mean, you know, the music thing is still really powerful to me, and I love performing, and, you know, there is a lot of prep involved, and, you know, I want it to come across as being very natural, but, yeah. So anyway, I'm running on a bit of a tangent here, but that's kind of the summary that of the Dreamers Writing Farm right now. So
yeah, and it's I'm always amazed when I look at the amount of things, the experience that you have. Like when I go to CosmoAndEffect.com, I see all the ways in which you were able to not only market yourself, but market different revenue streams. It's been inspirational to me to go and look at him. I look at all these things that he does. Oh, you know what, Ryan? I gotta go, my friend. I have someone at my door.
Yeah.
I have this to come up. Of course. I will talk to you soon. Where can people find you at before I let you go?
Oh, right. CosmoEffect.com, writingfarm.com. Visit writingfarm.ca if you'd like 10% off a booking with us. If you send it to our newsletter, you get 10% off. And also shout out to the Rumpus Room in Owen Sound. Big shout out to Sean, Maxine, Tom, Eric, DJ Guru. I have a monthly residency at this beautiful club in downtown Owen Sound. If you're planning a trip to the Great Bruce area, if you're coming to Sawa Beach, stay here at the Dreamers Writing Farm. Go party at the Rumpus Room. And let's have a fantastic summer. Thank you, George. You honor me.
Man, I am super stoked, Ryan. We're going to come back and we'll set up something else where we can get more into the facts of it there. I had a quick family emergency come down.
Of course.
Love talking to you, man. We'll do our thing. Have a beautiful day, my friend. Aloha.
Maximum respect.
All right.
Aloha, everyone. Thanks for taking a moment to hang out with me in the True Life Podcast. I truly appreciate it. If you're taking some time to listen to this, whether it's your first podcast with me or you've been with me the whole way, I truly want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. Additionally, I would like to try to inspire everyone. The world is a crazy place. And if you listen to your heart and you take some chances, I really think the world will unfold in front of you in ways you can't imagine. I've been doing the podcast for about 5 years. Last year, I decided to take the plunge. Well, circumstances dictated that I took the plunge, and I did. I've begun working on the podcast full time for almost a year now, and it's been so rewarding to me that I just want to try and inspire other people. If you have a dream, if you have a vision, follow the voice in your heart, listen to the song on the wind, and embrace the challenge. I think you're strong enough, you're smart enough, and you're good enough to make your dreams come true, but you have to believe in them. And I truly believe wholeheartedly that if you take a chance, a real chance on what is possible, then your dreams will unfold in front of you. Uncertainty can be a monster. It can be something that we run away from. But much like fear, if you stand in front of it, it's not that big of a problem. I know everyone listening to this has a dream and a vision, and I hope you all conquer it. And I want you to know it's possible. Take baby steps and move towards it, and you will get closer to it. Your relationships will be better. Your life will be better. And you know what? You deserve it. You're an amazing person. If you get a moment, go down to the show notes. If you can, support the show. Thank you so much for being here. Now let's get to it.